Chapter 4. Now what follows embraces the road which we took to Eleazar. Now first, I will describe the layout of the whole country. For when we drew near the region, we saw the city built in the middle of the whole land of the Judeans, on a mountain which extended to a great height. Now the temple had been constructed on the peak, preeminent above all. And there were 3 enclosing walls, but they were over 70 cubits in their magnitude, and the width was proportionate. And the length of the structure of the house was also. Everything was built with a magnificence and expense which excelled in every respect. Now it was also obvious that the expenditure of money had not been spared on the door and the fastenings which connected to the doorposts, and the stability of the lintels. Also, the configuration of the curtain was thoroughly proportionate to the door furnishing, and most of all, in view of continuous movement caused to the material by the undercurrent of the wind. It was continuous because the undercurrent started from the bottom and the billowing extended to the rippling at the top. The phenomenon making a pleasant and unforgettable spectacle. Also, the sacrificial altar was constructed in a manner commensurate with the place and the victims consumed in the fire. The ascent up to it was on a similar scale. Now, because the priests on duty were swathed up to the loins in linen garments, the site's stairway was designed in a manner consistent with decency. Now, the house faces east, but the rear of it faces west. Now, the whole foundation was paved with precious stones and had slopes leading to the appropriate places for carrying the water, which is needed for the cleansing of the blood from the sacrifices. For tens of thousands of beasts are brought up there in the festival days. Now, there is not only an uninterrupted supply of water, because even running water gushes up naturally from within, but there are also indescribably marvelous underground reservoirs, which are within a radius of 5 stadia from the foundation of the temple. And each of them has innumerable pipes so that the different streams join together. And all of these were covered with lead down to the base in the walls. But on top of them, a thick layer of pitch was spread, all done very effectively. There were many mouths at the base of the altar, which were completely invisible to everyone, except to those responsible for their duty, so that the large amounts of blood which were being collected from the sacrifices were all cleansed by the downward pressure and momentum. Now, also being personally convinced, I will describe the building plan of the reservoirs exactly as I understood it. For they led me more than 4 stadia outside the city and directed me to bend down at a certain place and listen to the noise where the waters met. The result was that the magnitude of the receptacles became clear to me, as has been demonstrated. Now, the duties of the priests were absolutely unsurpassable in their vigor and the arrangement of their well-ordered and silent service. For they all work hard of their own accord, with much exertion, and each one looks after his appointed task. And their service is carried on without interruption. Indeed, some undertaking the carrying of the wood, but others oil, but others wheaten flour, but others the sweet spices, others offering the parts of the flesh for holocausts, all of them exerting their strength in different ways. For after they divide the legs of the bullocks with both hands, though they are more than 2 talents in weight in almost every case, they, with an upward movement, rip off, with each hand in a marvelous way, a sufficiently large portion with unerring accuracy. Now the sheep and the goats are similarly treated in a marvelous way, despite their weight and fat. For those whose concern it is, choose, in every case, select specimens, which are without blemish and outstanding for their fatness. This was how the previously stated procedure is carried out. Now, they have a place of rest set aside, where those who are resting sit down. But when this happens, some of those who are rested stand up. But no one orders the arrangements of their duty. Also, a general silence reigns, so that one might think that there was not a single man in the place, although the number of those on duty is more than 700. But there is also a multitude of the assistants who are bringing forward the victims for sacrifice. Instead, everything is carried out with fear and also in a manner worthy of great divinity. Now, it was an occasion of great consternation to us when we saw Eleazar engaged in his duty, with both his vestments and his glory, which was revealed in the tunic in which he was vested and in the stones around him. For golden bells surrounded the hem at his feet, making a very special sound. But alongside each of them are tassels adorned with flowers, which are of marvelous colors. Now he was clad in a distinguished, magnificent belt, woven in the most beautiful colors. But on his breast, he wears what is called an oracle, to which are attached 12 stones of different kinds, set in gold, giving the names of the tribal chiefs according to their original order, each stone flashing its own natural distinctive color, quite indescribable. Now on his head, he has what is called the tiara. But on this, the inimitable turban, the royal diadem, having the name of God in relief, on the front, in the middle, in holy characters, on a golden leaf, ineffable in glory. The wearer is considered worthy of wearing these vestments during the duties. Now, the appearance of these things instills one with fear and disorder, so that a man would think he had entered the outside world. And I emphatically assert that every man who comes near the spectacle of what I have described will experience indescribable consternation and marvel, his very mind transformed by the holy arrangement on every single detail. For, in order to inspect the entire scene, we climbed the neighboring citadel of the city in order to view it from there. Indeed, it is situated on a lofty site, fortified with many towers, which in their turn are built of sizable stones up to the very peak, according to our information, for guarding the area around the temple. So that, in the case of any attack or revolt or onslaught of foes, no one could force a way into the enclosures which are around the house. And there were sharpened bolt launchers in position upon the towers of the citadel, along with a variety of implements. And this place's peak was higher than the previously stated enclosures. The towers were, so to speak, guarded by most trustworthy men, and who had given great service to their fatherland. These men were not permitted to leave the citadel, except at the festivals, and then only in portions. Nor did they permit any stranger to enter it. But when any order came from the foremost commander to admit any visitors to inspect the place, as for example in our case, they were very strict. For though we were but two unarmed men, they were very reluctant to admit us to observe the proceedings at the sacrifices. Now, even such a procedure was, they said, confirmed by oath. For every man had sworn that, in the necessary and solemn discharge of the matter according to the oath, they would not admit more than 5 men at the same time, although they themselves were 500 in number. For the citadel provided the entire guard for the temple, and in this way, its founder had secured the advanced guard for the places which we have described. Now, the size of the city is well proportioned, enclosing about 40 stadia, as far as one can estimate. But the setting of its towers looks like a theater, and that of thoroughfares too, which stand out, some set lower down, some higher up, all in the accustomed manner. The same applies to the roads which cross them. For since it is built on a mountain, the layout of the place is sloping. But there are also steps leading to the thoroughfares. For indeed, some people make their way above them, but others go underneath them. And their principal aim is to keep away from the main road for the sake of those who are involved in purifications, lest they should touch any illegal object. But it was not without reason that its first founders built the city in due proportions. But their plan was a wise one. For the country was ample and beautiful. And indeed, parts were flat, such as the area around Samaria, as it is called, and the neighbors of the country of the Edomites. But other parts were mountainous, such as the neighbors of Judah. Continuous attention to cultivation and the care of the land is necessary to also ensure a good yield as a result for the inhabitants. And when this attention is paid, all farming is accompanied by abundant yield on all the previously stated country. Now, in those cities which achieve a large magnitude and have accompanying prosperity, the result is an abundance of population, but neglect of the country. Because everyone has a soul bent on cultural delights, and all men have been founded with a prone toward pleasure. Now the same thing happened with Alexandria, which excelled all the cities in magnitude and prosperity. For the country folk migrated to that city and remained there, thereby bringing agriculture into decline. So the king, to prevent their settling, ordered that their stay should be no longer than 20 days. And to those in charge of business matters, he gave written articles that, should it be necessary to summon anyone to attend, the matter should be dealt with in 5 days. But, as an indication of the importance he attached to this, he also appointed money collectors and their servants by districts to prevent farmers and high-ranking men of the city from engaging in business, thereby diminishing the treasury. Now that is to say, the profits of farming. But we have made this digression because Eleazar had traced out the previously stated facts for us so well. For the love of labor of the farmers is remarkable. For even their country is thickly covered with large quantities of olive trees and crops of wheat and pulse, but even with vines and abundant honey. Indeed, as for the fruit trees and date palms which they have, no number can be given. Also, they have many flocks and herds of various kinds, with ample pasture for them. So they perceived clearly that the places needed to be well populated and designed the city and the villages accordingly. Now, a large quantity of spices and precious stones and gold is brought to the place by means of the Arabians. For the country is agricultural and well fitted for commerce. And the city is home of many crafts. But there is no lack of goods imported from across the sea. For even its convenient harbors which supply them, such as both Ashkelon and Yafo and Gaza, but even Ptolemais, which the king founded to hold a central position in comparison to the other previously stated places, are not too distant from them. Now, the country is well watered everywhere, it has everything in abundance, and is greatly secure. Now the Jordan River as it is called, flows around it, never drying up. Now the country originally measured not less than 60 million acres, but subsequently, neighboring peoples overran it. 600,000 men were settled upon it, each having 100 acres. Now, as the river rises, like the Nile, in the days approaching harvest, it waters much of the land, discharging its waters into another river in the country of Ptolemais, which in turn flows into the sea. But other wadis, as they are called, also flow down, covering the parts toward Gaza and the country of Ashdod. Now the countryside is surrounded with natural defenses, being difficult to invade and impractical for multitudes because of the narrow passes, with beetling cliffs and deep ravines. But with the rugged surroundings of the entire mountainous regions. But it also used to be said that copper and iron mines were formerly lying in the neighboring mountains of Arabia. But in the time of the Persian rule, they were abandoned because of a slander by the responsible overlords of the time that their working was unprofitable and very expensive. The purpose of closure was also to prevent the resulting ruination of the country by the working of the previously stated mines, and even perhaps its alienation through their dominations, because they had seized the pretext of moving into the mining regions on account of this slander which had been made. Therefore, I have also explained to you in summary form, Brother Philocrates, as much as was needful concerning these matters. But now, we will expound details of the translations.